From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, those special Friday into Saturday morning open lines with a very special hotline. I'll tell you about that next hour. But first, in Arizona, the United States' largest nuclear power plant was on a lockdown after an employee triggered a security alert in connection with a suspicious-looking pipe on a worker's truck. No problems to the public. The Iraqi defector code named Curveball, whose false tales of biological weapons labs bolstered the United States' case for war, wasn't the prominent chemical engineer that he claimed to be, and apparently invented stories to help his case for asylum in Germany, according to a new report. Curveball apparently is a fellow by the name of Rafid Ahmad Alwan, who did study chemical engineering but made poor grades and never managed a biological weapons facility. This according to CBS's 60 Minutes, which will broadcast on Sunday a report describing how Alwan became a secret intelligence source. Although known publicly only by his codename Curveball, been repeatedly discredited by investigations of the United States' faulty pre-war intelligence, and became an embarrassment to U.S. spy agencies. A presidential intelligence commission found that Curveball, who mostly told his stories to German intelligence officials who then passed them on to the United States, was a liar. Rescue workers in southern Mexico are battling to help some 300,000 people trapped in their homes by flooding, with more rain forecast in coming days. The state of Tabasco is suffering its worst flooding in more than 50 years, with most of that state underwater, million people affected. Too bad we can't move some of that water over Atlanta in Georgia and help them from their drought. A hospital in Arkansas has isolated its entire intensive care unit and is not admitting new patients due to the outbreak of a potentially deadly drug-resistant bacterial infection. All ICU patients at St. Joseph's Mercy Health Center in Hot Springs, Arkansas, have been isolated and forced to remain in the unit. The drug-resistant bacteria affected six critically ill patients so far, four of them in intensive care, two others in the general medical population. I had a chance to talk with a doctor here in St. Louis who works in an emergency room at a hospital. He said, George, I will tell you this right now. After hardening of the arteries in cancer, staph infection deaths will be number three in the United States. He says, I'm seeing more and more cases coming in, particularly among young people, and it's absolutely frightening. We can't fight it with antibiotics. In White Plains, New York, a former college football player has sued Ionia College over an antibiotic-resistant staph infection. He says nearly cost him his leg 2 years ago. He's accused team trainers of initially brushing off his resistant staph infection in September of 2005. He also called the team's locker room an unsanitary environment in which players shared towels and equipment. Democratic presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich caused heads to turn earlier this week, as we reported, when he acknowledged that he once saw a UFO, but if elected to the White House, he wouldn't be the first president to have such an encounter. Jimmy Carter saw one a long time ago, and in an interview with CNN's John Roberts, he says, we just couldn't figure out what it was. He says about 25 of us spotted this thing. It was up there in the air. It changed colors. It was round. But I don't think it was space aliens. You know, Richard C. Hoagland had his successful National Press Club event in Washington, D.C., as he unveiled Dark Mission, his best-selling book about NASA. He's on the line with us now because, Richard, we've been trying to get you for a couple days. Have you been abducted?
Well, maybe by the Russians. We had an amazing turnout at the National Press Club. We had a room that was supposed to be holding about 40 people, and it was actually filled to overflowing. We had row upon row of television cameras, and we had four of the major Russian television networks, including the equivalent of CNN from Russia, present. They stayed the entire time, taped everything, took Kennedy downtown later, not abducting us, and we did a three-hour interview with all of the images and then some, which is going to be condensed down, we understand, to a half-hour piece that will run continuously for an entire day, every hour. So it was stunningly successful. NBC Nightly News called us, even one of your friends, Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, shit. Well, yeah, one of my dear friends, right.
Well, you are kind of on the same network. But anyway, this is only the beginning because Sunday, the 4th, we reach the epitome of publishing. You know, you mentioned Dark Mission. In 3 weeks, George, with this audience's help, remember, I've done no national television. I haven't done Larry King or Jon Stewart or Matthews or anybody.
You will. This will grow. That's
it will
my
grow,
prediction.
But with this audience, this extraordinarily perspicacious audience, we have gone in 3 weeks from nothing when the book was just released to, I can announce tonight, The Dark Mission is officially on the New York Times bestseller list, and we're beating out the Dalai Lama.
That's fantastic. Well, good for the Coast listeners and good for you, Richard. But now, Eastern Europeans seem to be more interested in this story than mainstream media here. Is that correct?
Unequivocally. If you go to the Enterprise Mission website tonight, enterprisemission.com, you'll find a major piece we finished this afternoon. David Wilcock and I worked on it, called Russian Media Publicity Explosion. And you'll be able to read a lot of the Internet links to the major Russian media, including the papers, websites, the television networks. They are treating this incredibly seriously. There are Russian scientists who are confirming now, by downloading the Apollo imagery and doing their own analyses, such as I've been calling for U.S. scientists at NASA to do for years and years. It would be remarkable, George, if it weren't so predictable. When I worked for NASA years ago, we used to say that the shortest way to Washington and the American media is through Moscow. Vladimir Putin is up to something tonight. I see his hand, this chess master's architectural hand behind this, and it could only get better. Now, one last thing. Sunday afternoon and evening, we're doing this major event at the L.A. Hilton in Los Angeles,
right,
which you were supposed to be able to attend, and I understand family problems or concerns have kept you back in St. Louis. But I want to give everybody one last chance for tickets because we're going to be showing some of this amazing video that was shot at the National Press Club. We're going to be showing the data. You know, we're going to be showing Ken Johnson's background, our NASA expert who has come forward and blown the whistle on being instructed to destroy these images 40 years ago, and as a patriot, he simply refused. And we're going to be basically taping the beginnings of a national documentary for theater release next year. We want to interview you. We want to talk to you after you've seen the pictures, after you've seen the data, and get your reaction live while it's happening. So if you call this 800 number, you can get what few tickets are remaining, and I will see all of you a day and a half from now on Sunday afternoon. So the number is 800-367-5777. That's 800-367-5777. And, George, we're taping everything so you won't miss a thing.
Absolutely. Thanks, Richard. Good luck to you and Mike Barron. Congratulations on the success so far with Dark Mission. And, of course, I'm in St. Louis, but it's good news, Richard. It's good news. Not family problems. My daughter's going to have a little baby boy, and we're just waiting for the little guy to play the role of the groundhog. And he's not ready yet. But I do have to be back in Los Angeles in another week or so. So I may come back here afterward, of course, during the holiday season. Thanks again, Richard C. Hoagland. Psychic mediums, we've talked about them on this program numerous times. And boy, do we have one coming up. Rebecca Rosen, she's our special guest in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. I'm going to introduce you to Rebecca Rosen, an astonishing talent among psychic mediums. For the past 10 years, she has served as a bridge between this world and, well, with those who have crossed over to the other side. Rebecca has mesmerized thousands of people and audience members with her down-to-earth approach and gentle nature, as you'll hear, along with stunning accuracy and her ability to connect with spirit. And here she is, Rebecca Rosen. Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great.
You come so highly recommended, I almost didn't believe it, but I trust the people who called me about you.
Oh, that's nice to hear.
Tell me about your gift.
Well, it's just that. It's a gift. And, you know, it's something that I think, as we all have intuition, we're all born with that sixth sense. And especially as young kids, we all have it, and it's very clear. And as we grow up in this world around us, we're kind of talked out of our intuitive knowing. And so, my knowing of this came about when I was 20 years old, and I was going through a dark time. I was going through a depression. Mm-hmm. And so I'd never thought much about the paranormal, the afterlife, until I started channeling through my journaling. And at the time, I didn't know. It was called automatic writing. And one day I was sitting at a bookstore, and I was just journaling my thoughts and feelings, and all of a sudden this energy started taking over my hand and writing through me and talking to me. And I could hear the words in my head. I couldn't get it down fast enough. And sure enough, it was what they told me was my angel, my guardian angel, and my grandmother, who I was only 10 years old when she passed away. So I hardly knew her. I wasn't very close to her. So that was the beginning of this. And I thought, I was skeptical. I thought I was going crazy. And, you know, basically they gave me information to run by my father. And this was his mother who was supposedly writing through me, my grandmother.
I would think, Rebecca, while this was going on for a while at least, you must be in denial when that's happening.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely was. Because I lived such a typical, ordinary life. And, you know, I thought, who am I to be able to connect with this? And I was just oblivious to the whole process. But, you know, she gave me this information, and I ran it by my father. I got, you know, done with the writing. It was about an hour's worth of information. And I called him immediately. And sure enough, there were three things that she said that only he knew. And he could not believe, because he had never told anybody. Unfortunately, my grandmother committed suicide. And there were details about that that only my dad was the one who had found her.
Yeah.
So it was really intimate. And that, to me, right then and there, I knew something greater than I was working through me.
When this process occurs for you, can you do this at will, or does it just have to come?
It's a combination of both. I certainly don't force it. I mainly operate as a medium, though I am psychic. All mediums are psychics. Not all psychics are mediums.
That's true.
Yeah, and mediumship definitely requires a spirit energy to communicate through you. So again, I can't summon that energy. It has to be present. But 9 times out of 10, when I work with somebody, there's always someone, if not a guardian angel or spirit guide. So it's definitely a unique process out of our control.
Do you find that the more you've done this, the more tuned up you become?
Absolutely. This is a muscle, and the more you work it, the stronger it gets. But more than that, the more you trust it. It really kind of came down to trust for me, because, again, you have to get that mind. Our human mind is so powerful, and it talks us out of our intuitive knowing. So when you can surrender that ego and that mind, and you get in the habit of turning that off and tuning into your soul's knowing, your higher self, it's, you know, that's time and experience has been the main key with this.
And your strength, Rebecca, also seems to be tying in this connection with delivering messages from the other side, those who have passed on. And that's a pretty important gift all by itself.
I feel so. I can't imagine, you know, just recently I went through 1 year ago the death of my own father. And had I not known what I've known over the years, I don't know how I would have gotten through it, because what I know now is that our souls are eternal. And to be able to offer people that knowing through validations, really detailed validations, not generic, but detailed, so things only that person knew about that loved one who died, restores that hope that one day you will reconnect. And until then, when you connect, when you talk to them and you pray to them, they do hear you.
Rebecca, what do you think is on the other side, if you could explain it or try to paint us a picture what it might look like?
You know, my belief is we can create heaven or hell on earth as we can in spirit. So I believe it's, you know, it's all based on perception and frame of reference. So what I've been told is there really is no hell on the other side. There's just different levels, different vibrations. And the lowest level could be likened to a hell. So the people who create not so good karma in this lifetime will go to a lower vibrating level. And then the ones that were good and decent and kind and loving, they go to the place that they've rightfully earned. So, you know, I do readings all the time where I'm hearing spirits say, oh, my heaven looks like I'm playing golf all the time because this person in life enjoyed playing golf. For another spirit, that may not be true at all. It's their teaching, because in life they always wanted to teach, but they never got the opportunity.
A long round of playing golf, always getting holes in one in heaven.
Yeah.
And then if you're down in hell, you probably end up with double bogeys.
Yeah, it's not such a bad place. And, you know, one of the things I'm trying to do with my work is demystify the paranormal. And, you know, it's not, there's nothing to be afraid of with death. You know, it's the place we all came from, and it's the place we'll all return to.
Do you ever get frightened by what you do? I mean, have you ever had a bad experience?
The answer to your question is no. And the reason being is that my intention guides the work I do. And my intention every single day is to come from a place of love and truth. And I pray and I surround myself with angels and white light. And again, my intention is to be a channel of pure positive energy. But when I first began this, I was oblivious to how all this worked. And I was a college kid, you know, playing around with this. And I pulled out a Ouija board, and my college, and my college roommates and I thought for fun, why not, you know, test this? And the board would only work for me. Nobody else, the other four girls didn't work for. So I was doing the board. Well, needless to say, we called in some dark energy, and at the time, it, you know, we thought it was a game. But the following few days after that, some really weird, dark things were happening. And it clicked that it was in connection to calling it in through that board. So I always caution people to set a good intention, a loving intention.
I was laughing a little bit when you said Ouija board, because I almost made the biggest mistake of my life, Rebecca, doing a Ouija board experiment, which I finally backed out of so brilliantly, mind you, because of the recommendation of one of my guests. This helping that you do for people, it has got to be comforting. You know, I thank God I haven't lost the real close people in my life yet, but we are human and eventually things are going to happen. So I can't really relate to the grief that so many people have occurred, including you. The ability to try to communicate with the other side successfully, or even the attempt, has got to help them a lot, don't you think?
Absolutely. And again, that's one of the motivating reasons why I continue to do this work. You know, this is nothing I ran after. This came to me. I was an advertising major, and I graduated with a degree in communications, and clearly a different kind of communications than I realized. But, you know, this is something I've just opened up to because I've found over the years of doing this of how powerful and how healing this can be. You know, a lot of clients of mine are therapists, and they will send their clients, because what you can do with a powerful, clear connection in 1 hour could be years of therapy if you can just bring about that closure for that person that they never got, those last words.
You know, is that what they ask you for the most? I want that closure. I need to talk to someone on the other side.
Yes. But, you know, when I work with people, what I prefer is to know absolutely nothing about them. And so usually they're not asking anything. And that on its own has been what happens. Immediately you go into the people, the spirits who need to come through to give that closure, whether it be they didn't get a chance to say goodbye or they wronged that person in life. That does seem to be the tendency.
I'm coming back to Los Angeles, Rebecca, in a week, but I'm probably not going to be there in time because you have an event on Monday, don't you?
I do. It's a really special event with James von Prague and Concetta Bertoldi. And it's the first time that I've ever worked with two other mediums. And, you know, the basis will be that the three of us are going to each be able to offer our gift in our own unique ways and answer questions, you know, and talk a little bit about the afterlife.
Three heavyweights, and I'm talking about your abilities to be able to do this. And James has just been a great individual. I'm not that familiar with Concetta, but... Yeah, I know Mr. Van Prague is one giant in the field.
Yeah, he's been a teacher for me, and so it'll be really nice, and I'm honored to be able to work with him. And, you know, Doreen Virtue, I know I've heard her on your show before. She was actually my teacher. When I first discovered this, and again, thinking I'm going crazy, I found her, this was a good 8, 9 years ago, and I attended, you know, some of her workshops. So she also has been a She empowered me to step out there and share my gift.
She is wonderful. Rebecca, stay with us. We're going to open up the phone lines for you. We can't do personal psychic messages here, but if you do have a question for Rebecca Rosen, feel free to give us a call. We'll give you the numbers in just a moment. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. You know, Coast to Coast may be one of the only syndicated shows that broadcasts 7 nights a week across North America. And Saturday night, it's none other than Mr. Ian Punnett. Hello, Ian. How are you?
Great. I've never heard that that preamble to that song before. That was really cool.
And there was a reason, of course, why we played it.
That force in the universe we refer to as luck. Two people studying it, they've written a book about it, one from the position of astrology, the other from science, but yet they come to similar conclusions about that thing that draws us, that we think we can predict, we think we can control, what we call luck, and that's what we'll be talking about in the main show tomorrow night.
I'm looking forward to it, Ian. That's Ian Punnett, Coast to Coast, at 10 p.m. Pacific time. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take your calls with our guest, Rebecca Rosen, on Coast to Coast AM. Rebecca, are you glad you have this gift?
Yeah, I feel it's a great honor and blessing to be able to help people, to serve people in this way.
Well, it is a gift indeed. And can everyone be trained to have that gift?
You know, the best analogy I can use is most all of us have voices and most all of us can sing. It doesn't mean we are all gifted singers. And if you practice at it, you can strengthen it and develop it. And the same goes with intuition. You know, we can all develop it to different degrees, and it doesn't mean you will be able to channel for everybody if you work at it every day. But I do strongly believe that we all have the ability to go within and find our own answers instead of looking outside of ourselves to someone else for those answers.
For those of you who might want Rebecca's website, it's linked up at coasttocoastam.com, but it's Rebecca Rosen, and let me spell it for you. It's rebeccarosen.com. Can they get information on this Los Angeles event on your website, Rebecca?
Yes, they can, and the only other site I know is through Ticketmaster. There's a lot of information on there.
Okay, very good. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard Line, welcome to the program. Hi there.
Yes, hi, George. Hi, this is Bill in West Hartford, Connecticut.
Hi, Bill.
Rebecca.
Hi, Bill.
Hi. Let me say first, I'm a skeptic and an atheist, but I want to check and do a scientific experiment to find out if you can answer the question I want to ask you about the world, particularly Bush and Iran, because I'm very much terrified of what George W. Bush may do next year, 2008, regarding bombing and or invading Iran. And what I'm worried about is the aftermath, because Iran is not going to roll over and play dead and do nothing if and after Bush bombs Iran. So I wanted to ask you, what are your thoughts, your feelings? Do you feel or think that Bush will do something military regarding Iran next year?
Now, well, do you do that on a psychic level, or you just deal with the afterlife?
I really don't do that, and the reason being I'm very clear on why God has given me this gift. And there are many psychic mediums who do answer psychic questions. You know, I've had so many clients ask me who's going to win the presidency, you know, and I don't go there. Because that, to me, that doesn't come to me naturally. That is definitely, if you want those answers, I would suggest you find a psychic who is interested in that.
You deal primarily with those who have departed.
I do, for the purpose, the sole purpose of healing.
Have you ever stumbled across an entity that wants to come back, Rebecca, and maybe they tell you, I'm going to get into a little baby. I'm going to become the next soul for that person. Do they ever do that?
They do. Reincarnation, it comes up a lot. Though the misconception is that the average soul waits 2 decades before they jump back into a body, because there's no rush to come back. It's so much work here that you want to stay in the afterlife and digest and process the lifetime you just went through. So it's very rare that that comes through, though there's times I can't reach a certain loved ones, and it's come up through another deceased spirit that that particular loved one has reincarnated. And so I have had that validated, though I find it's rare.
West of the Rockies, you're on with Rebecca Rosen. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Hi, this is Cora from Bakersfield. Hi, George. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. Hello.
My question is, someone that is recently deceased or is deceased, how would they communicate with a loved one that's living? What signs do they make or give?
There's a lot of different ways spirits try to communicate. In fact, I'm writing a book on this right now because I'm so fascinated with it. Spirits oftentimes want to get through to let the living know they've made the journey and that they're at peace and they're okay. There's a lot of different ways they'll try and do that. It depends on the living and how open and intuitive they are. So you might have a dream, which is often called a visitation, and they're able to easily get through then because your mind is quieted and it's easier to receive the information. They may come through, this is what would come up in a reading. You would have validated the signs, whether it be pennies they're sending you or, messing with the lights in your house. So there's multiple ways, and it just takes us tuning in and getting clear on what those are and not writing it off as coincidence.
Rebecca, are you familiar with some of these technical pieces of equipment, Frank's box or the Spiritcom, which attempts to communicate with the other side technically?
Actually, I am not.
I'm going to get one. Rosemary Ellen Guiley is one of our interviews. She's going to be in Los Angeles soon and is bringing me one to look at, and she thinks it works.
Oh, fascinating.
Thomas Edison was working on one of these things before he died. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to get your take on that.
Yeah, and in my opinion, all you need is your intuition. You really don't need a device. That might be very helpful. It sounds fascinating. But truly, we're all just, giant antennas. And some of us have small antennas and some satellites, but we can all tune into this higher frequency.
First time caller line, your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, it's Leo from Naples, Florida. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi, I have a question for you, Rebecca. My entire life I've been very interested in the paranormal and spirits in particular, because my family has a strong history in spiritism. That's kind of like a science/religion that's predominant in Brazil, about channeling spirits and using their healing energies and to bring change upon their lives. And I never really had any results. I played with, the Ouija board when I was younger. I went through that phase. But I recently purchased a new spirit board, and it's really beautiful. It's got a bunch of symbols and common mm-hmm. phrases and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, it's been talking a lot to me.
Yeah.
It's been giving me all sorts of messages. And I was wondering if you could answer a few questions. First of all, is it a new board, or is it something that I've awakened inside myself? I'm 20 years old. I go to college, Your story kind of reminded me of what I'm kind of going through.
Right.
And also, specific message has been given me. It's been spelling out the word war, W-A-R, and signaling fire a lot lately. And I was wondering, maybe they're trying to tell me something about the war or a war that's coming. I don't know how to interpret it. And would you recommend using the spirit as a way to broaden my abilities, or would you recommend switching to automatic writing or something else?
My opinion is that I don't feel the tool is all that important. Like I said earlier, it's your intention behind the tool you're using. And the problem with the board is that it opens up this door to this, this portal. And you're not specifying whether it's going to be dark or loving and light energy. So always say a prayer, no matter what you're going to use, whether it be automatic writing or just tarot cards or the Ouija board. I had a Ouija board initially. And then, again, I told you what happened, and it wasn't a positive experience. I then switched to an angel board. And it sounds like the board you have, and it was much lighter, and I got a better response. So again, I don't think it's about a new board. I think it's that your energy might be clear and in a better place, and you're therefore tuning into a higher energy.
Rebecca, are these spirits, either good ones or bad ones, I mean, are they just ready to pounce through a portal the minute one opens?
Again, just as there's, you know, a wide range of personalities and people in this physical world, so is there in the non-physical. So, yeah, you can get, again, intention. That's what it comes down to, because you can allow in ghosts and lost souls. And I have to tell you, I've never had a negative experience in the 9-10 years that I've been doing readings, because I won't allow in lost energy, only energy that's of the highest and purest intention.
That is remarkable. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on with Rebecca Rosen on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead, please.
Hi, George. Hi, Rebecca. Rebecca, you had mentioned earlier that your ability is like using a muscle. Now, could you elaborate on that? Because I'm kind of thinking of that in the literal muscle sense.
Yeah, you know, it's the more you practice and use something, the more confident and the more educated you become on that. And so with this gift, what it's like is when I'm doing readings, spirit energy is literally impressing their energy onto my mind and body as thoughts and feelings. And so over the years, it's like learning a foreign language. I've had to build a vocabulary, and it's all based on my frame of reference. And when I'm doing readings, it's like playing the game of charades, because they don't have voices and they don't have bodies. So they have to rely on energy impression. And so that muscle has grown both in just my understanding of it, my knowledge of it, my own vocabulary, as well as my trust in it.
Okay. And one more thing. I just heard you mention the angel board.
Yes.
Now, I've never heard of an angel board. How can I get one?
I could not tell you. I got mine years ago back at Barnes & Noble. I couldn't tell you any New Age store has. There's all different kinds, but specifically there is one called the Angel Board.
What does it look like, Rebecca?
Well, I saw one at the Psychic Eye in L.A. It's just like a game board is what it is. And it has alphabet, and it has numbers, and then it has this planchette. And some of them are spooky. The Ouija board look kind of spooky, and the angel boards are a little lighter and brighter. In the end, it's all the same idea.
Is that on Ventura?
That is.
I know exactly where it is. Our studio's right up the street.
Ah, it's a great store.
Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello. Yes, I'm calling because this is a big thing. There was an article in the Baltimore Sun and the Chicago Tribune that proved that Israel's attack on the Liberty was very, very definitely deliberate. Lots of multiple witnesses. But we've never been able to, because of the massive government cover-up on this, we've never been able to find out why they did this. And those of us who have family members that were killed in that, and of course many others have post-traumatic stress, all want to know why they did it. Can you tell us anything?
Again, this is not something that I choose to go into. I'm mainly using my gifts for mediumship versus psychic reading. So,
okay, what if, Rebecca, someone, because we did have some deaths in that event, a tragedy, what if someone came to you and said, look, my sailor son died. Well, can you help me? Can you communicate with him? Can you tell me what happened? Would you be able to do that at a certain time?
You know, as with any person who walks into my office, I don't dictate or control who comes through. All we can do is set the intention. And oftentimes, absolutely yes. There's a strong emotional need from the person who died to come through and bring about that information. But as I say with any reading, the spirits are plugged into the medium. The medium is not plugged into the spirit. So the medium can't control what the spirit offers, though we can pray and ask, but then we surrender and allow whatever they choose to bring through.
Okay, let's go west of the Rockies. A few more calls to go. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi. This is Eric from Cameron Park, and I had a question for Rebecca.
California. Go ahead, Eric.
Yes. Yeah, I had a psychic tell me that I had two guardian angels, as well as the Archangel Michael was around me a lot. And so what I wanted to know is, how does one communicate effectively with the guardian angels. She also mentioned Doreen Virtue to me.
Yeah.
But I just kind of want to sit in quiet meditation. And I tried it using George's method with letting, you know, negative thoughts fall on the river and float away and do the slow breathing and everything. But how does one really get into that state of mind ready to communicate with the angels?
You know, it comes down to simply quieting your mind. So I think that's an effective way, the meditation you suggested. And it's asking. You simply have to give spirit, your angels, any higher energy permission to come to you and through you. And, you know, they can't intervene in our lives unless we give them permission because of free will. So again, it comes down to praying and asking. And the minute you call on Archangel Michael, the archangels can be with infinite numbers of people simultaneously. They're not limited to time and space, as well as your guardian angels. So all you need to do is put the call out there as if you were just talking to your own friend, or you can mentally affirm it. You don't need to put it into words. And then it comes down to, again, trust. And your mind's going to creep in, and it's going to tell you you're making it up, but you have to trust and just allow the information to continue to come until it eventually will validate.
Have you ever had a spirit that may have done something horrible while it was in a body, and it is now remorseful on the other side?
Absolutely, yes. This happens daily. And it may not be, you know, catastrophic, like a Hitler, but many, many, many times you hear the spirit coming through who abused, whether it be physically, emotionally, or verbally, the person I'm working with. And they finally have, the lights have gone off. They've woken up to the harm they've caused that living loved one who is still suffering. And it's very powerful because they, in their own way, are apologizing and trying to give life back to that person who's trying to heal from it in the living.
All right, let's take one more quick call. You are on the air, Wildcard Line. Hi there.
Hi.
Yes.
My name is Renee from San Antonio. I have a question for you. Two questions.
We'll just have time for one, I think, Renee, but go ahead.
Okay. What is the difference if you find God as an adult, and if God finds you as a child and gives you a gift at the age of 7 and opens your eyes to your first demon, and from then on there's no books, there's no teacher, but the Spirit teaches you? I've seen candles burst when I pray for people. I've been through exorcism. What is the difference in that when an adult finds God and God finds you as a child?
You know, well, I don't know if this is going to answer your question, but I have this firm belief that God is within all of us. And the only separation, the ego causes the separation. So God has never left us. Our own free will, our own ego chooses to separate. So again, God is always with us. It's just re-remembering that truth.
Rebecca, good luck in everything you do.
Thank you.
Keep in touch. If you ever need to get a hold of us, of course, you know how to do that, too.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate your time.
Okay, it's Rebecca Rosen. She's a psychic medium. That's what she deals with. She communicates with the other side. Now, when I come right back in just a moment, we've got 3 hours of those Friday night and the Saturday morning open lines for you. We're going to open up a special hotline. I'll give you that phone number. I'll give you that topic as well. But the phone lines are now open for open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie, and I'll be right back.